Hey everyone, you're listening to the Bench Points Podcast, hosted by me, Jackson Damagala. Today, I had a whole NBA solo session for you right here. I'm talking Warriors, definitely talking the Timberwolves, gonna be talking about some random bad teams, as well as the best, worst trades ever. It's gonna be a great time. I've got some takes, got a little wrap up there. Just excited for this NBA basketball to be at full steam ahead. It was good to talk sports once in a while. I'll be back at it again here soon. I really hope you guys enjoy. Peace. We got to talk about the NBA. It's been a while. I've spent some time off, you know, talking about documentaries, giving movie reviews, and also studying for this investment test on the side. So I thought I'd take some time, solo it, give all these thoughts that are running through my head, just get them out there, get a way to express myself at this like 20 to 25 game mark so far. You know, they usually use that 20 game metric. It's a good teller of who's going to make the playoffs or not. It's a little bit different now with, the play-in, because that can change between one or two games, but it gives you like an accurate picture. And so at the top, who do we see? The Minnesota Timberwolves. Josh and I did a West standings prediction, that first podcast that never aired, mostly because who wants to hear about the West standings? It went on for like an hour of us talking a lot of random points. Everyone knows that. Who cares where I place it on the sixth seed Timberwolves, which I think that's where I put them, sixth, seventh, or maybe even eighth. And to see them at one through this point, and I think the power rankings just got released today, they're number two, but they've been one standing there for a couple times as well on NBA.com. Who could have seen this change? Timberwolves fans, you're lying to yourself if you think you saw this coming. You did not expect Rudy Gobert to gain these hands of catching a ball and be able to put it up fast, or to drop the ego, or for Karl Anthony Towns to shift to the power forward as well as he did. I don't think anyone saw this coming after the results of the trade. I think they believed Anthony Edwards was going to turn out to be leader, which he has. I don't think they thought Karl Anthony Towns was going to slide into his role, not just as power forward, but more as a second option and kind of taking a back seat to the spotlight when it comes to this team. I will not stand for that, because I don't think anyone thought this was going to happen. So let me just get that out of the way first. Now let's focus on Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, I mean, he's not Utah Jazz defensive player, but he's been an anchor for this team. I think Anthony Edwards feeds off of it. Karl Anthony Towns plays a little bit better when he's out there. Nickeil Alexander-Walker plays great. It's Troy Brown Jr., not great, but Kyle Anderson, they're best of buds again. Rudy Gobert has been a big point of that, and having someone in the paint that is feared makes a lot of impact. And I look at the Warriors, who don't have a rim protector. People just drive in the lane, and when they drive in the lane, we're taking two to try and defend it, kick it outside, boom, three. How does that work? Now with someone through the Gobert with a 7 feet tall, and Karl Anthony Towns is who's 7 feet tall at the two, these twin towers are now working. Who would have thought? I definitely believe that first of all, you can't go back on this Rudy Gobert trade in a year. You can't just trade one of them out. I thought at the beginning of the season, I think I mentioned this before in a previous podcast, it's like, this is the last year. You've got to test this out. Otherwise, you got to deal one of these. Because Karl Anthony Towns' contract turns into $50 million. Rudy Gobert is still going to get like $38 to $40 million. New tax apron. New tax laws. You know, you had to move on if this year isn't great. Now I don't know what to say. You've got these two playing great. You got Jaden McDaniels contract coming in. You got Anthony Edwards contract coming in next year. You probably have a good year of Mike Conley left if you want to re-sign him. Kyle Anderson, you got to pay or let him walk. There's going to be some problems this summer, but that's besides the point. Let's not focus on that. I think Timberwolves fans were lying to themselves if they believed the season was going to turn out this way. If these fans thought just from the Denver Nuggets first round series, what you guys thought you saw from them, to think, oh yeah, we'll be at the top of the West for sure, number one seed. I mean, what? No, you didn't. I mean, I know Bruce Brown gave you a little quote that, you know, this is the hardest series we had, was the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah, that might be true, but you can't withstand certain other teams. So we gotta put a halt to that, because the Minnesota Timberwolves do not want to see the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs next year. They would love, I mean, they might have to, but they would love to avoid them at all costs. So I think their line, if fans are saying, oh yeah, bring them to us, bring them to us. You don't want the MVP. You don't want the best player in the world against you, dishing out and making Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert look like a clown. Jaden McDaniels can't save all right? So let's relax there. That's a lot of hate. That's a lot of negativity. Let's get into some unexpected things that I'm so proud of the Timberwolves and how they're doing so far. First of all, let's go to Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns was one of my favorite players in the league. That's when I first started watching the league. After the 2015 Warriors Championship, I got into it. 2015 draft, still my favorite draft of all time. And Karl Anthony Towns comes in here with a first overall pick, while we already had Andrew Wiggins as a first overall pick. Cat won Rookie of the Year. It was great. It was great. We got two Rookie of the Years in a row. We were losing games, but he was scoring and he was finding this place. And 25 points per game. Had a couple All-Stars before this whole thing happened where Anthony Edwards came in. And he's kind of slid to a power forward and a secondary role in this team. You know, he's a complainer. He's a whiner when it comes to these calls and just plays. And definitely afraid to make eye contact with anyone. I don't know if it's the rules with make eye contact is automatically taunting, but he likes to look away a lot, which is weird because he could look down to a lot of people, you know? So Karl Anthony Towns moving to the power forward, it's been great. A lot of focus has been off of him. I think that's let him sprout into a new offensive role. He's finding a shot. He gets to choose now. He's not throwing up 25 a game, 25 shots, I should say. And it's been very, very great to have. Because, again, I thought we had to get rid of him after next year. When his contract goes from 36 to 50-plus, how are we going to afford that? How can Alex Rodriguez afford that? Because I worry about what they're going to do. It's great. Very proud of him. Obviously, got to keep him throughout this year. And then you kind of have to look at the options. Kind of look at the payroll, see what the result of the season is, and then move on from there. You've got him under contract. You don't have to worry about losing him right now. It's just, it's food for thought. Food for thought. He's great. Let's move on. Now, with a big talk of this Timberwolves team, it's been the fours and the fives. Not really about the point guards. It's Mike Conley and Jordan McLaughlin, sadly, and Shake Milton, who sucks. But with the fours and fives, you have Naz Reid transitioning to four and five occasionally. I got nothing else bad to say about Naz Reid. He's great. Way to have him back on the team. Friendly deal, too. So you have that in the contract, too. I'm naming all these players and I'm like, how the hell are they going to pay everyone? How is this team going to stick together? And it's not something I should be thinking about right now, because you're crowding your head with all this negativity of what's the future when something is so positive in the present. So I'll say this last thing. Kyle Anderson's doing his thing, stays in at the four, Nas at the five. Do you interchange Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns? Do you always have one on the court? Or do you kind of let the four and five, Naz Reid and Kyle Anderson, go off a little bit by themselves? And that will help with, you know, there's some injury due to come or some rest. Will Karl Anthony Towns finally get some rest? I know he had 50 games off last year, but he's never been rested a game. His first like 6 years or something like that, he didn't miss a single game with Andrew Wiggins and Tibbs playing him like crazy. The first time he missed a game was through a car accident in New Jersey. So like he's durable. The 50 games, I'm not gonna knock him. Every player gets it. You know, it wasn't even the full season. He came back. So the fours and fives are playing well. And I like to slip Jaden McDaniels into the four there. Let's talk about his contract right away. To anyone thinking he would get a max, you're out of your mind. I've not seen enough offensive potential to give anyone a max contract like that. His defense is good, and I hope to blossom into like a 14 to 18 point per game score, but I don't know where those points are going to be coming from with this team loaded like that. So right now, you hope he doesn't punch any walls. You hope he stays healthy. You hope he can stand his own with the best, because that would be kind of important. Let's say we're in the finals. We as Warriors, I get that. I apologize. But he can guard Jason Tatum. He can guard Jaylen Brown. Take it off Anthony Edwards' load. Let Anthony focus on running the team and doing offense. I mean, Ant needs to step up on defense too, but he's a great piece. He's kind of the X factor I would label for this team. Not Naz Reid, not Mike Conley, not Rudy Gobert. I think Jaden McDaniels has a big part in this as well. And they've been rolling without him. Don't get me wrong. But when he comes in, I think he's going to be a big part to this team's success moving forward. So that kind of comes down to what do I see the Timberwolves doing? I think they're like 19-5, something like that. Playoff contention. How far do I see this going? Everyone needs to slow the boat. All right. Finals, you can't just blatantly say finals. All right. You have to relax, especially in this conference. The East is the joke right now. The West has a lot more coming than you think. You do not want to face the Nuggets in the West. You do not want to face the Lakers in the West. You do not want to face the Suns in the West. You don't even want to face the Thunder, potentially. And I put a little question mark on the Suns and Thunder there. We'll get to that. Let's talk about the Timberwolves rivalry, the Nuggets. The defending champs apparently have a rivalry with the 8th seed Timberwolves still. I think this goes back to maybe even that Jimmy Butler year or Jamal Crawford year, whatever you want to call it, where the last game of the season came down to getting into the playoffs, and that was Karl-Anthony Towns' first time in the playoffs, and they were able to get it done. The last game of the season was going to be those two. They paired up for the last game. Perfect. The Timberwolves ended up winning that. They made it to the playoffs, got out the first round, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's a starting point. This past playoffs, they lost to the Timberwolves. I mean, the Timberwolves lost to the Nuggets in the first round. The Nuggets went on to win the NBA championship pretty handily. Like, they lost one gentleman's sweep against Miami Heat. They swept the Lakers, which all those games were close. No, the Timberwolves weren't better than the Lakers last year. Get that shit out of here. And now we're coming over here, and I don't remember off the top of my head if they've faced each other and who's won what. I believe the Timberwolves have won at least a game between them. You do not want to be poking the bear right now. Aaron Gordon, Jokic, Jamal Murray's on one. Like, this team has the starting five back together, a couple other bench pieces, and relying on some young talent that aren't as good as last year. I understand that. But this experience and having the best player in the world is a lot better than anything that the Timberwolves can provide right now. So that's who I'm afraid in the top of the West for sure. Then I move on to the Lakers. After the Lakers in-season tournament, I'm afraid of them. They seem to be clicking, and I think they're going to make some moves here at the trade deadline, at least. It's not a Zach LaVine move. It's maybe a Caruso, maybe a DeMar move, maybe another wingman or scoring. Potentially, you know, packaging Rui and D'Lo somewhere. I don't want to, if I were the Timberwolves, I would not want to face this team at all. LeBron, anyone who's still not afraid of LeBron, they're out of their mind, especially with Anthony Davis. You saw him in the in-season tournament as well. 40-17 or something like that. And Anthony Davis has been mildly healthy. LeBron has been managing his time. They're looking good. I don't care what trades they make. I would still be afraid of them for the Timberwolves' sake. Now moving into some question marks. I have to say the Suns don't look great. Beal just got injured again. They've played like one game of this big three together. I still fear Devin Booker for sure, an MVP candidate, and Kevin Durant. Now I have to say Nurkic is playing well, and I think Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert will quickly suppress that. But I believe when they're rolling, they're rolling. And I just put a question mark in there. It wouldn't be an ideal first round matchup, I would say that. You do not want to face that team in a first round matchup with the Timberwolves. If you're the Timberwolves, you kind of want to get your pace going. You're going to skip the plan. You want to get that first round, a little rest in, and just hit it hard. Hopefully having a home game, home court advantage during that first round. And then lastly, the Thunder. The Thunder are right below the Timberwolves right now. They're competing for that one spot. They're trailing a little bit. Now, why do I say the Thunder? I think they're fast. SGA is going to get 30 free throws against you because he loves to draw fucking fouls and he's so annoying. But this Thunder team is quick and fast and young and they're consistent. Now, is Jalen Williams or Chet Holmgren going to stop both Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert? Doubt it. But I think they're looking to make a move. They've stacked picks. They've got some young talent. You can't pick 5 first-round picks and 5 second-round picks next year in the draft. You just can't do it. I know they don't have that. You can't do it. And maybe you got to make a move now. And I understand Sam Presti wants to wait, see what they have, why rush it. I get it, too. I make the same mistake in 2K. I understand. That could go to 7. And Nuggets could sweep them. Nuggets could go 6, 7. Like, all these are close series. And that's the only team that I really worry about in the West. The East is a different story because no one's really standing out other than the Celtics and Bucks. Celtics you do not want to face. Bucks I wouldn't want to face either because who's going to handle Dame? Jaden McDaniels is going to follow him around? Maybe. Chris Middleton's nothing. But I'm just saying these Bucks, Celtics, you can put them off to the little side because they're coming and you're only going to face them in the finals. I get that if you make it to the finals, but keep an eye out on them for sure. All right. Last little note on the Timberwolves. I think it's important because some of these fans on Twitter, and especially Twitter fans of these Timberwolves fans, have been very interesting. I get it. I mean, we get the play when they made the play-in. They won the play-in against the Clippers. They made it into the playoffs once again. It was kind of a dramatic celebration. And for a franchise that has done nothing for maybe over 25 years, have not only reached the Western Conference Finals once against the Lakers, I believe, you got to celebrate the now. And I get that. So let's take a look back at the Rudy Gobert trade a little bit over a year out. All right, the Timberwolves-Utah Jazz trade consisted of Malik Beasley, who had like a year left on the contract and then a team option that was unlikely to be picked up due to the size of it. Malik Beasley was traded to the Utah. Patrick Beverley, who was on 1 year expiring. Leandro Bellarmo, if you guys remember the first round pick that the Wolves whiffed on. And then Walker Kessler and Jared Vanderbilt, who Walker Kessler was the first round pick for them that year. And then Jared Vanderbilt still from the Nuggets trade that they had. And Jared Vanderbilt had a couple years left, and now he's already on an extension with the Lakers currently. And then a 2023 first-round pick who became Keontae George, who's been starting. He's not terrible, out from Baylor. A 2025 first-round pick, a 2026 first-round pick, a 2027 first-round pick, and a 2029 first-round pick. And then a couple of rights on a 2025 pick, and then a 2027 pick, I believe. Who cares about the players? Malik Beasley, later on the Lakers. Same with Patrick Beverley. Same with Jared Vanderbilt. What do I view this trade as? Walker Kessler at the time. We looked at that trade last year and we were like, Walker Kessler makes this trade. He was in Rookie of the Year contention at least. He played insane. He was playing as well as Rudy Gobert did last year at some points. And now Walker Kessler doesn't even start over Omar or other players. He's having a little bit of down here, a little rookie slide back. Leandro Bellarmo's not even in the league. Pat Bev, Timberwolves could definitely use him for sure, but who knows where that have gone this free agency as well. Malik Beasley, he's now starting for the Milwaukee Bucks, cannot guard anyone. And Jared Vanderbilt, I don't think if, let's say, the trade was reversed, maybe there'd be some room to pay Jared Vanderbilt. I just don't know if $15 million negotiated by Rich Paul would be worth it. And straight up, they only got Rudy Gobert back. So I'm looking at all these picks, and, you know, if things keep up, it's a little too early to say so, but those picks will most likely be later in the first round. Still, that is not worth it. I think Walker Kessler might have bloomed into something nicely. I think at some points, Mitchell Robinson might have done the same job as Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is playing great. Don't get me wrong. Way better than Mitchell Robinson. I'm just looking back at this trade and wondering what other assets could we have combined to get a different player to pair well with Ant? Because this Mike Conley experiment is going to last this year, maybe next year, and after that we have to go looking again. And who is that going to be? What are we going to take? Lonzo Ball? Malcolm Brogdon? That would be the move. But you got nothing to trade after that. You have to draw a free agent here. A starting point guard. That doesn't seem likely. So the Timberwolves need to trade another asset to get another point guard after Conley. I don't know where that's going to be. So let me finalize with this. No, it's not the worst trade ever. I'm going to name a couple here, but it's still not a great trade. All right. I was having this discussion with my good friend Adam, who's going to be on the pod soon. Crazy Timberwolves fan, watching every game, going to a lot of games, staying with it. And we were just talking about the trade. I just have to bring it up sometimes. Sorry. And then we just talked about worst trades from that. Then the discussion became into the Paul George trade, not the Paul George to OKC trade, which in itself was actually pretty nice. Let me just bring that up real quick. Like the Paul George trade was kind of like an even trade. You know, there's even trades. And surprisingly, there's been two even trades with Sabonis. So the Paul George trade in 2017 was they get Paul George, Indiana gets Victor Oladipo and Sabonis. Victor Oladipo got a couple All-Stars, blossomed, and then they traded him for nothing while he left. Sabonis played well there, got an all-star selection, but it wasn't a great fit with Miles Turner, so who cares? Moving on to the real important Paul George trade that we talk about so much that kind of started this OKC snowball effect of picks. So, traded by the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Los Angeles Clippers for Gallinari, who played pretty decent that year, was a big hand in that one playoff run that they did that year, which is also needed to be mentioned in this playoff. In this trade talk. Gallinari, Shea, I mean, do we have to talk about Shea? That's MVP potential right now. A 2020 first round pick that became Trey Mann. He's not special. He might be out of the league in a couple years. And they have no interest in playing him right now. 2022nd first round pick, Jalen Williams. That is the small forward, not the center one, who actually is really good. So, I mean, wow. That's something special. A 2020 first round pick that became Jaime Jaquez from Miami Heat, who they traded away. A 2024 first round pick, a 2025 first round pick, a 2025. Draft pick, first round pick, a 2026 first round pick, 2021 first round picks, if Miami, blah, 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 that got protected, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple swaps. I mean, wow. Now, Paul George did get the extension. They have him on the team. He's not leaving anywhere. And you have to look at this way as well. The Paul George trade got you Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard wanted to sign with the Clippers. He said, get him and then I'll go. So they had to make that trade. And OKC also benefited off this too. They got Chris Paul. They had a great season. They sent him out, got some picks back for Chris Paul. But they also got rid of Russell Westbrook that got Chris Paul. They got some picks there. And that's where it kind of all started. Who's the winner or loser in that trade? You have to say the Clippers. I mean, this is the last year you have to be looking at the Clippers and like, this is it or it's a dud. Because it's been 4 years of rest management and not doing shit in the whole playoffs. And it's been very disappointing. The team has been pretty healthy this year. They have James Harden. They have Russell Westbrook on the team. There's Terrence Mann, Norman Powell. There's a lot of pieces there. Zubac, there's a lot of pieces there. And there is contention possibilities. What do I think about the Timberwolves facing them? They might be able to handle their own. There's some old guys. They might be able to drift past. But I would actually put them on the list, too, to watch out for against the Timberwolves because that's a lot of pieces, a lot to guard, and I understand that's only one basketball. I think a forgotten trade that also needs to be mentioned is the Jason Tatum trade. The Boston Celtics still got the first overall pick from the Brooklyn Nets during that whole Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett thing, and they had the first overall pick. The Markelle Fultz buzz was going crazy. They're like, let's pair Isaiah Thomas, Markelle Fultz, all in the same thing. Let's just do it. Thankfully, Danny Ainge had a better vision of knowing he was going to pick Jason Tatum already and just drafting him at the third. And so what the Celtics did was they gave Philly, Markelle Fultz, in exchange they got a 2019 first-round pick, who became Romeo Langford, who sucks, who's out of the league. So I get that. But the first-round pick wasn't worth it to step back a little bit, but it's Jason Tatum. Markelle Fultz didn't even play that first year. He played like 10 games, got his shot really whacked up, got shipped out. That trade is an all-time winner from the Boston Celtics. Maybe bigger than the Brooklyn Nets trade in a whole. Then again, they did get Jaylen Brown and a couple other pieces from it. But I think Jason Tatum has stirred this franchise into a right direction more than anyone else has. So maybe that's the worst trade that the Sixers could have ever done in the past decade. Okay, well, we're talking about trades, and that's just getting me going. So now a bunch of stuff has popped in my head. Let's talk about three interesting stalemate trades. The first one being the Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade. Now, I was on a plane during this time, and I, you know, obviously got to pay your phone off, and I open it up. I'm still in the aisle. Boom, 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 boom. 30 Bleacher Report notifications. I'm going crazy. I'm getting hella texts. It was kind of that free agency summer was kind of special, you know, and same with the Paul George thing. I took a nap early that same night to wake up to Paul George getting traded at 2 a.m. All right, enough sidetrack. Let's get into that trade. So if you guys recall, this is in 2017. The Cleveland Cavaliers traded to the Boston Celtics. Cleveland got Jay Crowder, who played half a season there and then got shipped out with eight other people in that same season, if you recall. Isaiah Thomas, who did absolutely nothing. That was like the main point of these trades. We're looking at the Kyrie Isaiah Thomas thing. We're like, okay, it's a swap. This team just made the finals. Is Isaiah Thomas going to be able to pick up the load to face the Warriors again? How is this going to work? And then Ante Zizic, a center who's out of the league now, didn't do anything in his time in the league. And then 2018 first-round pick that became Colin Sexton, who was, I think, like the fourth overall pick. Colin Sexton played his 4 years at Cleveland, and then they got another sign-and-trade, so they got a little something out of him, but really never went into the hype. And if people recall, this trade stuff was such a big idea because when I know this was later on, but when Colin Sexton later on got selected, this was a couple years later when LeBron was thinking about leaving. And LeBron would, and Colin Sexton on draft night goes, oh man, LeBron, we can create something here. Stay. Like, Colin Sexton is going to keep LeBron James from going over to LA. And then a 2020 second round pick who became Skylar Mays, who's in the league currently with the Portland Trailblazers. They didn't do anything with him. Skylar Mays isn't terrible. And then all the Celtics got back was Kyrie Irving. You know, Kyrie played a great season there. He got injured, and Gordon Hayward got injured. So that first game against the Cavs, Gordon Hayward didn't even do anything. But that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, maybe you can look at it as a win. We saw this team drag someone to the Western Conference Finals, like almost a win away or two wins away from making the finals on their own. I think that was a starting point, a discussion between this dynamic duo. So maybe you can look at that as a win. Otherwise, Kyrie played two seasons there and dipped. All right, now let's look at my favorite trade of all time. I'm not saying it's the best trade ever, but it's the perfect one-off. I'm talking about the Kawhi Leonard to Toronto Raptors trade. Here it is. Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green and cash to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar, Jakob Poeltl, and a 2019 first-round pick that became Keldon Johnson, and then $5 million. What do we think about that? Well, we got to look at the results of that season. Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, both starters, even though Danny Green kind of his time diminished a little bit there when Fred VanVleet kind of picked up the role there, both starters on a championship-level team, both left after a year to go to L.A., Kawhi joining Clippers and haven't done much since, and then Danny Green getting a starting job at the L.A. Lakers, winning a bubble championship. I'm not downgrading that championship at all. I'm just telling you what happened during that year. And Danny Green's currently not in the league, but he's been bouncing around since. I mean, what a perfect trade. I honestly believe there was a chance Kawhi was going to stay. I know a lot of people don't believe there's a single chance that man was going to stay. Oh, my God, I wish he did. The city was offering a free hotel. There was a sticker on every door, every restaurant, saying if Kawhi resigns, he eats here for free. He was at a Toronto Blue Jays game. He was adored during that whole year, and everyone knew in the back of their head, because this trade kind of happened because we knew he was unhappy and wanting to go to L.A. where he's from. But all back of our head, we're like, maybe something can happen here. And the best part is they won a championship. Now, that can be the best or the worst. Because Kawhi Leonard won the championship, does he feel like his work here is done? He's like, I did it. I can't be hated. And maybe he's the best Raptor of all time between Kyle Lowry, Vince Carter, and him. I won it. I gave it to the city. I'm sorry. I got to leave. You can hate. The Toronto Raptors can hate Kawhi for that. I get that. But you got to appreciate the championship. Finals MVP against the Warriors. I mean, that shot against the Sixers, you made Joel Embiid cry. Unbelievable. So, obviously, the winner of any trade is when the outcome is of a championship. So, give it to the Raptors. On the other side, we got the Spurs model here. DeMar DeRozan, three years of nonsense. Maybe made the playoffs once, didn't do anything, left to the Bulls. Jakob Poeltl developed, became a player, and he's already back on the Raptors. Re-signed this past offseason from a trade midseason. He's back at the Raptors, so maybe that's a win for the Raptors as well. Keldon Johnson later became that pick. Solid player. spent some time that first year. I mean, after, this is a couple years later after the trade, but that first year he was in the G League a lot, blossomed into a 20 point per game scorer. The team is not great right now, but it's a great backbone. It's no point guard to Victor Wembanyama, but it's a nice piece added. So there's still a little resemblance of that trade out in the Spurs, and maybe you can count a little bit out in the Raptors with Poeltl back there and Siakam just being as happy, because those two were best of buds back in the day, and that was the bench mop. Like, Siakam was part of that bench back in the day a little bit. All right, that's my favorite trade of all time. I got one other stalemate here. With this past in-season tournament run, I think it's important to bring up the Tyrese Haliburton and Sabonis trade. I know before I mentioned the Sabonis having kind of two stalemate trades where there's kind of a winner for both of them. But with the Sabonis Kings one, it's hard to decide the winner of this trade. Tyrese Haliburton has a chance to become maybe the best pacer of all time. His only competition is really Reggie Miller, who, the bar is high, but the bar is also low with no championship. So let's see. This is what it is. So Tyrese Haliburton and Buddy Hield and Tristan Thompson to the Indiana Pacers for Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, Sabonis, a 2023 second round pick, which became Jordan Walsh for the Boston Celtics, so I have no idea where that went after that. And that's it. Buddy Hield still on the team, unhappy in the beginning of the season, potentially wants to stay there. I don't know if it's the best move with Nembhard, and you already have Benedict Mathurin, all that. You might just have to let the man walk and free up some money. I know they have the lowest salary, but keep it for maybe a free agency potential like Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby. Tristan Thompson, I think, ended up playing two games there and then did a farewell post and then went to the Chicago Bulls the rest of the season. And then with Indiana Pacers, Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, they both did nothing. And then Sabonis, that's the real piece. Sabonis moved back to the center role. He's now, I honestly think, one of the best rebounders in the game. Got an all-NBA team last year, all-star, all this. Pairing very well with De'Aaron Fox, who likes to drive. And I know Sabonis doesn't really have a shot right now, but he's been a crucial point. They got extended him. He's locked in. Let's talk about Tyrese, the other side of this. No one's watching the Indiana Pacers right now, or they weren't before this in-season tournament. Tyrese Haliburton put that team on the back, did a double-double with zero turnovers, and dragged this team to the championship, in-season championship. Terrific. I think it's a superstar in the making. Got the all-star nod after the trade last year, or a couple years ago, I should say. Oh, no. February 2020. Maybe 2 years ago or something like that. Got the nod. Oh, my gosh. He's playing insane. They're winning. They took a little year back. Buddy Hield and Tyrese were getting some rest last year near the end of the season because I think they were taking for the Jairus Walker pick, who's not even playing right now. But Tyrese, my gosh, is on a different level. Leader, vocal, a good franchise piece for, and a good face of the franchise for this Pacers, Pacers team. I don't know a single Pacers fan in my life, but if they're listening, you know, be proud of what I'm seeing so far. You've got some interesting decisions and some exciting decisions this summer with being a lot of open cap. You know, you don't have to accept that $23 million option with Bruce Brown. You don't have to do that for Bruce Brown anymore. You can try and actually go after someone. I don't know if it's enough from Miles Turner and Tyrese's performance to drag another person over here, but if the money's there, sometimes the money's there. I look forward to seeing this team in the playoffs. A high-scoring team, you know. Their mission is just like the old Rockets. After a great weekend of a back-to-back, we just got two dubs. We're back to 12-14. Klay Thompson looks good. Draymond suspended. Steph didn't hit a three. Brandon Podziemski is starting. Kevon Looney's getting barely any minutes. Rookies are dropping double-doubles. Kuminga is starting. Chris Paul is old. Dario Saric can't guard a backup big, but is shooting the lights out. It's a lot of interesting points with this team right now. And let's talk about Wiggins too, but I can't tell what the move is with them. What's the next step? I think a lot more games is going to help us decide. We're not even halfway through the season yet. And I think also more games are going to be needed because Draymond needs to go off this indefinite suspension and come back and kind of, you know, get back in the groove with the team. Let's look at some points that I don't like. The Warriors have been plagued with this year. It's the turnovers. They're so painful to watch. So painful. Careless passes from Steph included. Steph pisses me off sometimes too. He does some dumbass passes. The slow pace, and that's just going to happen when you bring Chris Paul in because he likes to slow it down. I don't mind it that much, but it doesn't have to happen with fast breaks as well. Our transition is terrible. And then we got to give up to Draymond Green for putting a little bow tie on the season so far to this start, goddamn. After that Suns game, I texted a couple of my friends, and I said, I can't defend Draymond anymore. He used to be one of my favorite players on the Warriors. He was my favorite player in the league for a while. Still kind of is, but after that hit and what I saw and that aggression randomly, and especially after the Rudy Gobert chokehold for so long, that was so out of nowhere, not because of his patterns, but going for Rudy Gobert when he wasn't really involved in the altercation and for how long he held him there too. It's just, wow. I can't really defend him anymore. He's so unapologetic to his interviews after, doesn't care. That's not okay, and I think I have to blame a little bit of this on Steph for not putting him in line. You're both leaders, both captains, both mean a lot to this team, but one's the franchise player, and one just can't let Draymond be Draymond for this long. So right now, I think Shams tweeted it today that he's out at least 3 weeks. I think they're going to take this a little bit more seriously than, sadly to say, take him a little bit more seriously than the Ja Morant thing. And maybe it's just because they have to learn from it, as in the Ja Morant experience, and realize what they had to fix there. And maybe the steps after that from here on out in instance are needed. I don't see them giving Miles Bridges any counseling. 3 weeks counseling. Miles Bridges today got rejected to playing in Toronto because of his felons. Do I think the Draymond thing? I mean, shit's just got to get done. He's got to do something. And it's whatever the team's comfortable with. I have no control. I'll just, my only complaint is if he comes back just not doing anything. Is there a chance he comes back and loses all his edge? Probably not. It's hard to get rid of Draymond Green when it's already been inside of him for so long. But it's disappointing. And the team is rolling a little bit without him, but we're not set. We're not a second round playoff team. We might not even make the playoffs. We're definitely in the play-in, hopefully. It's sad because we can't waste these Steph years. We need to talk about Klay Thompson and Wiggins, though, because this isn't just on Draymond for this slow start. And I don't think it's on Chris Paul, and I don't think it's on Steph, because they're playing great. They're doing what they got to do. There's so much I can ask for a 6-foot defender and a 38-year-old, you know. So I think he's playing great, getting some double-doubles here and there, taking control, taking a couple of the youth under his wing. I do not mind that. Klay Thompson's playing better. He had a good past two games. Shot selection's looking better. He's not dribbling too much trying to find his own shot. That's the most obnoxious thing. Since when do you think you could beat people off the dribble anymore, bro? You spent two seasons out. You're going to be different a little bit. He can't defend. That's troubling. So I don't know where that's going to step up, because it used to be Andrew Wiggins. But he's disappeared ever since he slammed his finger in a car door. He was out a little bit, took him out of his rhythm again, even though he was off to a slow start. He's back, played his best game other than maybe the OKC game, which they lost. But last night he looked great. Great energy defending, and actually had stroked some down. So that was great. Bench, I can't ask for much. I know Podziemski started last night, but he's playing great. All the right moves. All the confidence in the world. And I think Chris Paul and a lot of the veterans have taken a liking to the guy. And it's funny because the dad is on Twitter too, and he just like tweets and says, thank you to the Hall of Famers for taking my son in. Thank you from the family or something like that. It's like, what? Keep that stuff for yourself. I know he's not acting like LaVar Ball or anything. He's just being kind. But what? Dario Saric is pick and pop is great with Chris Paul, but he just doesn't have the size. He just can't defend, and I don't want him off the team. That's the hard thing. So what is this move? Because there's so many players I want to keep. Kuminga, I still believe in. I'm by the day, I'm more interested in trading him potentially, because we have to make a move here. We have to contend. I don't know what the move is. I'm pretty happy with Mike Dunleavy Jr. so far. He's made all the moves I kind of wish I wanted, but size is a requirement. and we're at the end of a Bob Myers era, and we kind of have to realize what our next position is. I don't know what that is, because right now we could bank the 10th seed, or we couldn't. It's tough. The road to 500 begins here with a Tuesday matchup against the Boston Celtics, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll see how my temper is after that. That's all I got on the Warriors. That's all I can say, because there's not a lot to look at. To make me feel better, let's move on to a little bit of a worse team. The Detroit Pistons, currently on a franchise record, or close to a franchise record on a losing streak. Terrific. They got the highest paid coach in the whole league, in the history of the league, on one of the longest losing streaks of all time. What is it? Is Monty Williams trying to establish a culture of losing before as their base before they build up? Do they have to make a trade? They've got like four big men who aren't doing anything. They're only losing. Cade Cunningham isn't great. Killian Hayes is still starting. Jaden Ivey can't fit with his role in the team. They still have Bogdanovich, even though they could get picks for him. I don't understand why you're wasting that guy's time. I know you sign up for a contract. You do what you got to do. But I'm saying, why waste it? Just like last year when they didn't trade him. I just don't get it. Why are you trying to build the team chemistry when you know you could just get rid of him? And you probably will eventually get rid of him. So sooner than later, might help this team, even though it's a better player, might help this team move on to the right direction. There are some trade rumors for Isaiah Stewart today. $16 million a year from after this year. So if you want to take that on, otherwise, he's not amazing. I don't know what the move is for this team. How about win a game? Let's say that. One other bad team I think is worth mentioning is the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant is coming back. He's been in court a couple times explaining how to dribble, and it's been quite interesting. Marcus Smart is crying himself to sleep every night. Dillon Brooks is off the team. Tyus Jones is off the team. Melton. All three of those guys are kind of doing their own thing. I don't want to say better because it's the Washington Wizards, but Tyus Jones has had a triple-double starting. Brooks is playing pretty well, got paid, and Melton's starting for the 76ers who are on a win streak right now. Things are looking up. You look at that Smart trade and you're like, why did they do that? Were they trying to contend? They're not making the playoffs here this year. Adams and Clark are basically out for the whole season. I'm wondering when Ja Morant comes back, are we going to get the kind of spotlight we had on him before? Is the ESPN light going to be a little bit off of it? Are we going to use him for graphic pictures? What's this going to be like when he returns? A lot of thoughts there, you know, and I've been watching the NBA. I haven't been as locked in as I should be, but I'm going to start paying attention to it a lot more, especially when the new year comes. I look forward to, after football ends, a lot of the attention to be on these games, more high profile, and a lot more things to come. Trade season is upon us. Draft season is starting. We're looking at some prospects. These award races are going to start, and we're just going to see some of these teams fall into the actual role where they belong. It's very exciting. I appreciate everyone listening. I think what are the plans for the future? I think I'm going to have one of my coworkers on. We're going to talk some movies, some rom-coms. We'll keep back some entertainment. Some pop culture might sneak in there. But I thought I needed to get this off my chest. My current NBA takes. A season is fun, even though your teams aren't doing well. The season is fun. I look forward to where this is going. Thank you so much for listening. You guys, leave a review, like, follow the socials on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me on any updates. I might update some things there. Would love to hear some takes. What is the worst trade? Did I hit it? What's the most stalemate trade? Both even on both sides or both became nothing? I could talk trades for days. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Peace.